When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This is one that you'll identify with.
Oh, no.
Amazing things that can come from being alone.
Oh. Well, I'm an advocate of that, so
don't
although, looking at you now, I'm like, maybe there is nothing good that could come of this. But I was reading an article on the web the other day, and it was talking about, hey, you know, positive things, because people are afraid to be alone. Everyone's scared of being alone. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to leave a bad relationship because you're afraid you're going to be alone, which the funny thing is when you stay in a bad relationship, it makes you feel more lonely
alone
than when you're
than
when you're alone. But a lot of people struggle with that. And I just thought I jotted down some of the points. And it's from a site called The Mind Unleashed. So I jotted down some of the points that I wanted to talk about because I thought they were really good. And the first one is you'll get to recharge. Mm-hmm. And as exciting as it is to be around other people, be it your family or your friends, your coworkers, it can be really tiring. It can really drain you of a lot of energy. And a lot of times we're funny. We ham it up. Heidi says, like, her biggest joke is she's like, Jill, I swear to God, you're like do you remember Looney Tunes with that frog? And I can't remember, like, one of the cartoon characters, the construction worker found the little frog in a box. And he opened the box and the frog was like, hello, my honey. Hello, my baby. Hello, my rat. And then, like, and so he would go get somebody and the frog would be like, ribbit. Like, and just stop doing it. But I'm like the opposite. Heidi was like, you get around people and you're like, hello, my honey. Hello, my baby. And then you come home and you're like, you just crash. You're so and I think that there is a big part of that. It's like we're mentally focused on someone's story and what they're saying, or we're hamming it up and we're being witty and we're being funny, or we're engaged. But it is tiring. So as great as it is, if you're constantly around other people, you're constantly connected to other people and their emotional roller coaster and everything they're going through. And it can be exhausting. So you get a chance to just not have to be on.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one was you'll reflect more often. And, you know, a lot of people keep themselves so busy for a reason. I find the boomers are really guilty of this. Really guilty of this.
Like, I'm a boomer.
Not really.
I'm on the edge of the boomer. You mean older boomers?
60s. 60s okay. Boomers yep. are yep. super guilty of this. And all my friends who boomer parents.
Yeah.
You know, like the parents never stop. They never sit down. They never stop. And like a good friend of mine, we were out to lunch and he went home for the holiday. Andy's husband and our fiance. And, you know, they went home for the holidays and then we all went to brunch. And he was like, I swear to God, Jill. He's like, my mom just never sits down. She never sits down. And like Heidi's mom does the same thing. Even my mom is like, admittedly, she's like, she used to just schedule the hell out of herself and wipe herself out. And, you know, and my mom is actually the one who explained to me that we do this so that we don't have to actually sit quietly and feel what comes up. anxiety, loss, loneliness. We don't want to deal with it. So we're like, busy, 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 frantic, frenetic, busy, frantic, frenetic. And it took me years to kind of slow that down because the pace became so grueling, I couldn't keep it up anymore. And there was a period where I was like, oh God, you know, this is so depressing. But then it became, this is heaven. I was like, when can I retire?
Yeah.
You know, this is so nice to have more time to just decompress and do smell the roses and do things I love and move at a slower pace. But it's really hard because people don't often want to reflect. They don't want to sit and feel like I'm in an unhappy relationship. Ugh, what do I do? What do I do? I don't want to leave. I'm scared to be alone. Oh my God, what do I do? Or, you know, I've got this unhealthy dynamic with my mom that I resent and I don't want to go home for the holidays. And oh, what do I, I'm so angry about it, but I don't want to be angry. And, you know, when you keep yourself busy, you don't allow those things to come up.
Right.
Which, by the way, you let your whole life pass you by, because when you don't reflect on the things that are hard, you can't improve them and improve the quality of your life. And you can never reflect on the things that are good and have a moment of peace. Okay. You'll start doing things you actually enjoy. And so this person says, when you're constantly in the company of other people, you're always making compromises in order to find solutions that the entire group can enjoy. And unfortunately, the things you want may not always line up with what the group wants. So it's easy to enjoy being alone once you realize that doing so gives you more freedom to do the things you actually want to do. Did we ever talk about apple pie on this show?
I don't think so.
Okay. Tell me what the number one pie in America is.
I guess apple pie.
Right, because I threw that out there, right? Okay, this was a TED Talk, right? Apple pie. How do we know? Best-selling pie in America. Okay, great. Now we know. So apple pie must be everybody's favorite pie. True or false?
False.
Why false?
Because my favorite pie is cherry.
Okay. So when they polled individuals about their favorite pie, guess what apple pie was?
Oh, probably like third or fourth.
Everyone's second favorite pie. So it became the default pie. So no one got the cherry.
Default pie.
And if mine was the Boston cream, I didn't get the Boston cream. You didn't get the cherry. And if Autumn's was lemon meringue, she didn't get the lemon meringue. But apple was our second favorite pie. So we just got the apple pie.
And this all means what?
It means that you'll get to do the things you actually enjoy if it's just you.
If I'm not the
default. You get your cherry pie.
I get my cherry pie.
Because the compromise was the apple pie.
Gotcha.
And life on a daily basis becomes apple pie. And it's worth it because you're like, well, I love my family. I love my kids. I love my friends. That's fine. Get the apple pie. But one of the benefits to having some alone time is it's time for cherry pie. Or the show you want to watch. Or the movie you want to see. Because it's like, Heidi wants to see a movie. I want to see a movie. She doesn't want to see mine. I don't want to see her. So we both are like, well, we could both go see Hunger Games. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Well, that just seems so unsatisfying. That we're not going to go see what you really want. We're not going to see what you really want. So we'll just go to something we really don't.
Well, a lot of times people don't have the resources to buy two pies, or they don't have the time to see, you know what I mean?
No,
so
sense.
You know, what movie should we rent? Oh, I really want to see, but and it's like, and you may compromise, you may say, okay, you know, we'll see your movie tonight and next time, but the point is that there's no one else to please.
Yes. No,
in these respites of alone time, it's just you. And let me tell you, like, I remember when my shrink, I was single again. And, you know, I was like, oh, I'm never going to meet anybody. I'm going to die alone. I'm going to die alone. And he was like, I think I've told this story many times. He's like, I want you to just date yourself for a while. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But what he meant was be for yourself what you are to everybody else.
Right.
Stop trying to have your needs met through other people. Meet your own needs. And then, you know what? The person will come along that is enough. Instead of you having to find someone that makes you whole. And that's when I was like, wait a minute, I'm getting myself a massage. I'm buying flowers for my side of the table. I am going to listen to my music in the car. Like, all through the holidays, I have to listen to Christmas carols. I hate Christmas carols.
Wow.
But whenever I'm in the car, I can't stand it. It starts to sound like I'm in an asylum. Like, I just start to go crazy with it. It's like, and Heidi plays it nonstop. In her car, and the little, you know, radio in the house, like non-stop. And like the brief moments where I would be driving alone without her or the kids in the car, I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Because I could play my music. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I think we don't realize, like, you really come to appreciate alone time when you're when you're married or you're a parent. You know, I may as well be married. So you get to do the things you want to do. You'll be more productive, which is so true. Honestly, I mean, I will have a million things to do. And I thought, oh, I'm going to get so much done. I'm going to make great headway on, you know, the Body Shred small group certification program. And I'm going to make great headway on my pregnancy book over the holidays. I don't have to work. But we had friends and family, and I got nothing done. Zippo. Nothing. Zip. And the kids weren't in school, so I, you know, I really got nothing done. And, you know, when you spend alone time, quite honestly, it's sort of like it's you and you. Mm-hmm. So you don't get distracted. You don't go play. You don't go please somebody or what have you. You get that book written that you've always wanted to write or that passion project you've always wanted to start. You start it. You maybe even finish it. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I do. Although I spend I spend 98% of my time by myself, and I can still procrastinate too. I mean, it's not a given that you'll get all those things done, but the chances are.
You haven't written your magnum opus yet?
Nope. It's coming, though. I'll save a special chapter for you.
My inspiration.
Yes.
The Wind Beneath My Wings.
And that'll be my little, the name? Yeah. The chapter, The Wind Beneath My Wings.
Yeah. And I'll write the little forward.
You write the forward.
Although none of you care about Manus unless it's in conjunction with me. I highly recommend this book for The Wind Beneath My Wings chapter.
You wait till I get this thing written. I'm telling you.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, God knows you have enough alone time. Okay.
Yes.
And you'll enjoy your relationships even more. Because when you spend more alone time, then you can really savor and appreciate your company, your quality company time.
That's very true.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's kind of, I mean, there were others, but I didn't like them as much.
No.
Here, this one was a good one. I did want to mention this one. It'll help you. If they say you'll stop looking for validation, I don't agree. But I think it will help you stop looking for validation because you don't have your friends and family there to constantly give you the acknowledgement, the thumbs up, you kind of get it, feel me, understand, and you don't have, so you kind of are acting out of your gut instinct, mm-hmm. and there's no one there to give you approval. So you take action based on instinct, and you make decisions without having to have somebody else validate you.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It really is.
So
really
anyway, is. For those of you who are afraid of being alone, I think we all experience that. We all go through that from time to time until we become a mom, and then we love our alone. But I thought I would share that. I thought it was a good article.
That's cool.
It's between meals. You're hungry. You're in search of an energy boost. But who can stomach yet another tasteless energy bar or a handful of dry, unsalted nuts? You know you're over it. So do what I do and get delicious, wholesome snacks at NatureBox.com. NatureBox offers over 100 nutritionist-approved snacks with zero artificial flavors, artificial colors, artificial sweeteners, no trans fats, no high-fructose corn syrup. You'll find snacks with no added sugar. You'll find gluten-free snacks. Snack of the month for me, guacamole bites. Delicious. And now I want to give you a chance to enjoy Nature Box for free with a trial box that features 5 of their most popular snacks. Yeah, you heard me. Free snacks, baby. So start your free trial right now by going to naturebox.com/Jillian. You know you're going to snack, so get smart about it. Go to naturebox.com/Jillian to get your free trial box of delicious snacks today. Okay, I got a quick snappy one for you.
All right.
Treadmill workouts.
Okay.
So I got 2 for you. The first game that I like to play on the treadmill is my fastest mile. So if you're biking, if you're in the pool, if you're on a treadmill, one of the things I love to do is run, see how fast, if I can beat my time from the last time I ran my fastest mile. So I've gotten my time down to 8 minutes and 36 seconds. My fastest mile. But it's taken me forever. Dude, there used to be a time when I struggled with a 10-minute mile. And so it's kind of like, it motivates me to see if, even if I can shave like a second off. And by the way, there are days when I don't beat it. There are days when I got a 9-minute mile and I'm like, all right, whatever. And there are days when I do it's still a 10-minute mile because I'm just under the weather.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a fun game to play. So like what I'll do is I'll go, okay, I'll incline walk for a half a mile. And I, psychologically, I like that because I'm like, well, the incline, when you go back down to
it's fantastic,
flat, I'm right. like, ah, I'm like, it seems so much easier. So I'll do that. So I'll go half a mile and then I'll sprint my fastest mile and then a half a mile up and then sprint my fastest mile. And that's 3 miles and I'll call it a day. So that's one that I really like. Another one is Tabata style training. And this could be, you know, the pool. It could be the bike.
I just took a Tabata class last night.
Oh, and what did you experience, Nucy?
I don't really like it, but I felt I did a good workout. It was very repetitious to me. I'm not big with the repetitions. But I suppose that works.
Well, for cardio.
Yeah. Yeah.
For cardio.
Yeah.
So, true Tabata is supposed to only be, I think, 8 minutes.
Yeah, it was like, oh God, what was it? Eight. Oh, you do the exercise.
20, 10, 20, 10. Yes. On for 20, off for 10,
eight
off for
times.
20. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, that was it. And then we changed the station, whatever you call it.
Well, true Tabata is only 8 minutes, I believe.
Oh, okay, okay,
I'm
okay.
Almost, it's been such a while since I've done that. But what is interesting about it, not all the time, but it's 20 seconds of like 100% of your maximum heart rate, 100% of your effort, 10 seconds off. 20 on, 10 off. 20 on, 10 off. And to be honest with you, I find 30 on, 20 off a lot better for the average fitness person.
Okay.
Because they need that greater recovery period. And it's often really hard for people to go, I say like, okay, let's say 30 on at 90% and then 20 off recovery, 30 on. A lot of people need that longer recovery time. The 20-10 is a lot, which is why it's only about 8 minutes. So I don't want to work out for only 8 minutes. I like to work out for at least half an hour. Mm-hmm. And I find the 30 on at like a 90% and the 20 off is sustainable. For 30 minutes.
But you do that on the treadmill.
I do it on the tread, but you can do it on the bike. You can do it in the pool. Gotcha. So if you're on the bike, it's just, I do it on, you know, I'll do intervals on the row machine too. But yeah. I don't do 20-10s on there, but I will do 30-20s. And I just, the 20s, see, I don't have time to get the treadmill all the way back down to half of the speed. So I'll jump to the side rails. But like when I'm biking, I'll just roll at half the speed. So it's like 30 on, you know, go, 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 go. 20 seconds, half the speed. 30
yes.
on, you know, or so, and then with the tread, it's 30 on fast as I can, 20 off. And that's another good one. That's like the tread and shred workouts, things like that. And then here's another one that we used to do all the time with contestants, and this is really fun. So you got to start from zero, though. That's the key. So you start, meaning 0 miles an hour, okay? You step on the treadmill, and the clock begins, and you accelerate it as fast as you can. And you run your fastest mile, okay? And then you recover at 2.5 miles per hour for 2 minutes. Full recovery. Now, you've got to run a half mile, and you've got to beat the mile time. But what that means is you cut it in half. So let's say I ran a 10-minute mile. Now I got to run a half-minute mile, or a half mile in 5 minutes. But it starts at zero. Again, the speed is at zero. You don't get to jump on at 6 miles an hour.
Right. Go. Okay.
Okay. Then, again, you walk for 2.5 minutes, or you walk at 2.5 for 2 minutes. Then we go to a quarter mile, then 1.25 mile, and you're done. Okay? With the 2.5 walk for 2 minutes rest in between. Now, while you think, well, this should be so easy, the reason it's not easy is because you're not starting at 6 miles an hour. You're starting at zero. And that lag time to get the speed up makes you have to run so much faster to beat the half mark. So yeah. Let's say we got up and we ended up having to run at 6.1 because you start at nothing, right? So you got to make up for that time it takes you to get. So you have to run at 6.1 or 6.2 to get that 10-minute mile because you're not jumping on with it already going at 6 miles an hour. So then you think, okay, well, no problem. It's going to be 5 minutes then, or, you know, 5 minutes is what it's going to take me to run that half mile. And I can run at the same pace and I'll get the time. Because that would make sense. But because you're starting from zero, you got to run that much faster to make it up.
Okay.
I know it's hard to understand, but you'll see it when you actually do it.
No, it makes sense because when you're starting from zero.
You're losing all that time on the clock.
Exactly.
So it isn't running 6 miles an hour to get to the 10-minute mile. You got to run faster than that.
Yep.
Or 6 miles an hour to get to a half a mile in 5 minutes. You have to run it like 7 to make up for the lag time to get it up to speed.
Yep.
So that's a real fun. That's a real fun little game to play.
And so you do mile, half mile, quarter mile.
And then 1 1/4 mile.
1 1/4 mile.
With a 2.5 mile an hour walk for 2 minutes in between.
Hey, that's hard.
It is. It is hard. It is hard, but it's fun.
Do you ever, when you're on the tread, do you ever do sidey-sidey-sideys?
Yeah, and backwards running. Yeah, I've done all that
just
stuff.
Just to change it up?
Yeah.
I do that on the stairs.
Oh,
I do side.
Wow.
You know those stair things?
Suicide.
I do that.
You don't hold on, do you?
I try not. Oh, sometimes I get a little dizzy.
I'm having the hardest time going to the gym these days. I just look around and I see everybody doing things wrong, and it drives me up the wall. Like, there was a girl on the Stairmaster next to me, and she was fit, right? And she's on the Stairmaster, but at a speed of like 9. But she's holding on, and she's leaning forward, and she's on her tiptoes. And she's like, look at me, I'm killing this workout. And I'm at a 7 with my hands behind my back and I'm planting my foot firmly on the stepper. And I wanted to stop her and be like, listen to me, take your hands off because you're wasting so much potential burn with your hands on there. And you're leaning forward, so you're only working the front of your quadricep and your calf. You're not hitting any of your glutes or your hamstrings because your heel is never touching the stair. And you're shortening your Achilles flexibility. And then there was a girl on the treadmill next to me, tall, right? Running at like 6.0. And it's like bounce, 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 bounce with every stride. And I was like, oh, I wanted to stop her and be like, listen to me, you're fit and you're tall. We could get this speed up to 7 miles an hour in 30 seconds. You know, give me a slight forward angle lean and, you know, stop going up and start going forward. And like, it was just driving me up the wall. It's like, I just keep seeing things. And like, another girl was running and she was like crossing her arms across her body. You know how people, you're not supposed to cross the midline of your shirts, like cross, 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 and her hips are like swiveling. It's just, it's driving me insane.
Maybe she was a dance. Maybe she was doing training for Irish, insane.
St. Patrick's Day. I want to walk over and just be like, we can make you so much more efficient in a matter of seconds. And I'm like, do not do this. Like, please don't do this. Like, sometimes I just have to leave.
Yeah, I can see how you would be frustrated. I take the hands off because of your voice. I take the hands off.
Like, or I'll see people doing like exercises all wrong, or like, you know what I mean? It just drives me crazy.
Has anybody ever come up to you in the gym and gone, "Oh, if," and said, "Hey, you know what? Why don't you try it this way?"
No,
you'd kill them, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't. I would be like how? I'm always open to things like that.
Really?
If they're right. It, like, for example, if someone's like, oh, try this push-up this way, I'd be like, oh, show me. Cool. But if they gave me wrong advice, like that's not how you use that, I'd be like, okay.
You'd just snap their neck right there.
No, I wouldn't. I'd be like, thanks. I wouldn't. I would be like, okay, thanks a lot. Yeah, sure.
And as they're walking away, a barbell hits them in the head.
Exactly. Hey, where'd this brick come from? I don't give unsolicited advice.
I know.
I just really want to.
No.
Ugh,
and I respect that. I respect that you don't do that. And when I see it happen at the gym, I just think Jillian would never do that.
Oh, it drives me insane.
I know.
Unsolicited
advice.
Insane. Yeah. Like, I saw another guy. I can't stand it. Look at me. Another guy was doing the one with the, you know, the tricep extension piece with the two ropes and the knobs at the end. And then you see those people that go down onto their knees.
Yeah, and pull it down.
And then pull down. And it's like, and I was watching this one guy do it. And it was like, He was just, oh my God. And it was like, he would like sit on his heels and bend at the waist.
Yeah.
And like no crunch, like no, not understanding like, okay, the idea is to bring my bottom rib to my hip bone. It's a crunch. Like it was all lower back and hip flexor, no ab involved at all. And I was just like, oh my God, I was dying, dying. And I wanted to just be like, what are you trying to accomplish here? Like, let me help you accomplish this. Because you and I just and I and I'm like, don't do it, don't do it. But it makes me insane, and I just think this must be how like other how chefs feel like when they watch people burn food.
Never what, thought of it.
What are you doing right now?
What are you doing?
What's happening with you right now? You know,
yeah,
mother
like,
of God.
When the chef goes out to eat,
yeah, they must just like seriously like or goes over to a friend's house and is just like, what are you doing? Woo! All right.
Good
that was
restraint.
Not really a productive segment, but I just, anyway.
All right.
Birchbox is the smartest way to shop for beauty products. Every month, you'll receive a box of 5 beauty samples that are tailored to fit the profile you fill out, personalized and individualized to your personal beauty needs. You get to try products from niche brands, up-and-coming lines, and everything in between risk-free. You can discover all new products that are just right for you, and if you love them, you can purchase the full-size version of your favorites in Birchbox's online shop. The subscription is only $10 a month, and it ships for free every month. So head over to Birchbox.com. Just use the promo code JILLIAN to get 100 Birchbox points with the purchase of your subscription, which is equal to $10 towards any of your new favorite products. And just in time for the new year, Birchbox has teamed up with an all-star panel of nutrition, beauty, and wellness experts to bring you 31 ways to make 2015 your best year yet. Every day is packed with challenges and prizes. Follow Birchbox on Instagram or Twitter, and you can hashtag BirchboxChallenge.com to get in on the fun. To the runners, the lifters, the weekend warriors, the triathletes, sore muscles and occasional injuries are a fact of life. If you don't want to slow down for ice therapy, get Arctic Ease Instant Cold Wraps. You've never experienced anything like this before, okay? It's cold therapy you use while you're still active. So while you're running, biking, lifting, and you keep your joints and your muscles wrapped up and cool. So it manages inflammation. It's fantastic. They stay in place while they give you recovery benefits to ice therapy. The surprising thing, there is no freezer needed. They're sleek, they fit comfortably, there's no bulky ice, they are reusable, clinically tested, and proven effective. So just put Arctic Ease on, and you've instantly targeted cold and compression therapy where you need it the most, before, during, and after exercise. So don't put your training on ice. Get reusable Arctic Ease cold wraps at a pharmacy near you to get cooling relief when and where you need it, or just visit ArcticEase.com.
Well, all the way from Spokane, Jillian, Kristen.
Okay. Hey, Kristen, what's going on?
I'm not a whole lot. Wow. I listen to you guys every week. It's just amazing to be talking to you guys.
Oh, thank you, buddy. Likewise. What's going on?
Well, I was just calling. I have been trying to learn to deal with grief over the last year.
Oh, sweetheart. What's going on?
You know, I come from a very close-knit family, and my grandma and me were especially close. I was mainly just, you know, kind of a mini her. Hold on. Sorry, just a second. Go ahead and say, hon. My four-year-old.
Oh, yeah, I got one of those.
Yes, I know. I love hearing about your kids. And, you know, we're all so very close. I live in the same area I grew up in, and my grandma grew up here, and my mom grew up here. And we lost her a year ago, and, you know, almost, it was so hard. I had my daughter 4 days before we lost her. And so I have just been for the most part, trying to get through the best I can. So you got to take care of the kids. You got life, sure. A husband, family.
Of course.
And I just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I'm an emotional eater. And I know that weight contributed to us losing her. She had complications from heart surgery.
Oh, dear. Okay.
And we all pushed her into getting it because we were afraid we were going to lose her. And the doctors told us, you know, if she doesn't have it, you are going to lose her. But if she does have it, she's going to have this great recovery and she'll be great. And it just didn't happen.
Okay. So first of all, let's talk about, and forgive me, she died, did you say a year ago?
The 24th, yes.
Of
this month.
Oh, she died wait a second. She just passed away.
Just a year ago, yeah.
Oh, a year ago. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, so yeah. A year ago pretty much now. All right.
Yes.
Well, a couple of things here. The first one would be, it sounds like you're not really letting yourself grieve, because it sounds like every time you start to grieve, you then stop yourself to take care of the husband or the kids. Am I wrong?
No, I guess I just feel like I don't want to be a burden on them.
Okay. We did a segment because my mom had lost her cat. And as silly as this may sound, like if you're an animal person and you're a person who's had that little animal soulmate and you've lost, you know, a pet after a long period of time, you know how hard that can be. And, you know, she just had to put down her cat. And I called my mom to check on her and I was like, how are you doing? And she was having a moment where she was in tears and she goes, I'm just letting myself cry whenever I need to cry. And it sounds like you've never done that.
And I truthfully haven't. It's been, you know, one of those things when you lose someone, you always feel like you want to go into that space and just lose it. And the grieving process was kind of robbed from all of us due to some other extenuating circumstances.
But then I might turn around and say, this isn't good for any of us. None of us have gotten to grieve. I'm sad about Grandma today. That's where I'm at. And you show your kids that it's okay. And by the way, it's uncomfortable. My 4-year-old was like, what's wrong with Grandma, Mommy? And I was like, baby, remember we talked about Cleo? And, you know, because it was my mom's cat's name. And I was like, Cleo went with God. And Lou was like asking me questions and trying to understand. And she said, did you see her fly away? And I was like, yes, baby, I saw her fly away. And, you know, and then I was like, do you want to talk to Grandma? And she goes, yes, I want to talk to Grandma. So I put my mom on the phone and she goes, hi, Grandma. And my mom, you know, my mom was sad, but fine, holding it together. And my mom was like, hi, baby. And she's like, I love you. And then she goes, now what do I say, Mom? And even at 4, she was like, she felt like, what am I supposed to say at 4 years old? And I go, nothing, sweetheart. Grandma just wanted to hear your voice. And I think it's okay to show kids that we can be sad, that we can be vulnerable, that it's okay to feel our feelings, that it's okay to cry, and to teach them that they don't have to fix it. And even my mom, I was like, God, Mom, I wish there was something I can do. And she goes, this is a really good lesson for you because there's nothing you can do. All you can do is just be there and be supportive of me. So, you know, because my favorite thing to do is to throw money at a problem. I love to throw money at a problem. I'm like, what do you need? You need groceries? Oh, you got a financial problem? You know, it's like, so then I don't have to feel helpless, and I don't have to feel, you know, emotionally affected. And these are valuable lessons, though, sweetheart, for everybody in the family. It sounds to me, your kids in the background makes me want to laugh because this is what it sounds like to have a phone call with me. You know, this would do your family good. No, sweet. If you need me to call you back, I'll call you back. You tell me.
No, she's okay. I tried to set her down all covertly, and she was not having that.
Okay. Well, I think that, you know, your feigned sense of strength is not ultimately in the long run doing anyone any favors. You're teaching your kids that, you know, feelings are weak and, you know, it's not okay to have feelings around other people. And I think these are the wrong messages to send, to be honest. And I think that you should just, and when you're crying, you just say, it's okay, baby. Mommy just misses Grandma.
And that has been my son, you know, because I'm a stay-at-home mom, luckily enough. And so, you know, I'm home with him, and he has been there through, you know, a couple of me just losing it. And
sure.
it upsets him because he doesn't know what's going on, you know. And
explain it. How old is he? Is this the four-year-old?
He's almost. He'll be four in March.
Have you tried to explain it? And even though they kind of look at you and then go, oh, a bird. And, you know, you're like, okay. But, you know, they are taking it in. I'm positive of that.
And I need to try more. I just, usually I don't want to upset him. And, you know, my husband has been wonderful. He's like, if we need to schedule a night and talk, you know, I can talk. She was just, I had kind of a unstable childhood.
Yeah.
And she was my... she was my rock.
Oh, I get it.
And of the whole family, you know, she was the brains of the operation. Absolutely. She kept us all moving and grooving, you know.
Sure. And you guys are trying to find your roles without her. And I think
that's exactly it. I keep bringing myself back to this guilt of losing her. And I've always felt so responsible for I've been kind of a peacemaker. And so, you know, you try to keep everybody happy. And then, you know, my husband told me, like, you need to knock it off.
What do you feel guilty about, though?
Just, you know, you always feel like if you could have seen him one more time.
Oh.
And I was pregnant when she went in to have surgery.
Yeah.
So I couldn't be there with her.
Did she know you love her?
Yes.
Then stop.
And that's
stop.
That's the hard part, is just trying to remind myself that. And
stop, honey. When I had that relationship with my grandmother, she passed away when I was much younger, though I was 10. And, you know, she was from Manchester, and she went back to the UK, ironically, for the unveiling of her mother's grave, and ended up getting sick. And I never got to talk to her because it just happened so fast, and she wasn't herself, and she was medicated, and my mom, you know, didn't know if she should put me on the phone because she didn't want me to have a bad memory and the whole thing. And it's like I got to write a letter, and my mom read her this little letter, and then she slipped into a coma and died, and I never got to say goodbye. And it was such a regret for so many years. And someone was like, "Did your grandmother, were you unresolved?" I was like, "No." And they're like, "Did she know you loved her?" I was like, "She knew I worshipped her." And he's like, "Then what are you doing?" And as silly as that sounds, and as much as it's like, well, it's not that simple. In some cases, sweetie, it can be this simple. Ready?
Yeah.
Did she know you loved her?
Yes.
Were you unresolved in any way?
No.
Then stop this. Stop
and
this.
This needs
to stop. It needs to, this part of it needs to stop. And the thing is, if she was able to come down and say, what are you doing? And of course I know you love me. Of course I know. She would. It would break her heart to see you stress out about that. So,
yeah,
honestly, and then I think the first thing you need to do is introduce healthy grieving into the household. And it's just telling your kid, it's okay. Mommy's okay. She's just sad. That's it.
Okay.
So that your kid will go, oh, this is okay to be sad. You just got to reiterate it.
Yeah. And I know that you say so many times to you know, new connections, which
I was going to get into that with you. The next thing I was going to talk about, actually, was the first one was, you know, you told me that she died because of weight-related issues, and then you're telling me that you struggle with weight issues. And one of the second things to getting through this is bringing a meaning to the loss. And it sounds to me like a very obvious meaning here is that maybe through losing her, you could celebrate her life by making changes in your own and saying, this won't have happened for nothing. I won't leave my kids and my grandkids, you know, due to a health-related disease or a heart-related disease, if you know it, because we all die of disease at some point. But you know what I'm saying? Prematurely. What meaning do you think you could bring to this?
Well, and that's exactly it. I've battled my weight my whole life. I'm not sure what.
It's probably also one of the ways you stay connected to her.
Well, and food was, it's always been a very big part of my family. You know, we all would get together around the dinner table, and she was a Southern woman, so we ate good.
Yeah.
And we baked together. Me and her always loved to bake together, and that's where I learned to cook from, was from her. And I think that is definitely, I think you're right, that is
Sweetie.
Probably part of it.
You have to learn. Well, remember, you know, we don't put on weight without a reason. It always affords us something, and it sounds in your case like it's comfort, it's control, it's connection. It's got a lot of gravitas to it. And one of the things that we need to do is, A, identify, you know, why we do it, and then, B, transform these destructive coping mechanisms into life-affirming coping mechanisms. And one of the ways that you can bring meaning and simultaneously stay connected to your grandmother is to say, I'm going to take everything you gave me and all these beautiful lessons, but I'm going to turn the cooking and the food and the sense of community, I'm going to change the recipes. I'm going to share the same things with my family, but I'm going to make them healthier recipes. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to make this a tribute to her, because all of us are going to live well and we're going to live long. So you simply take those things that provide control and provide comfort and provide connection, but you flip them from being unhealthy into becoming healthy. You're going to make healthier. You know, if you guys always baked a certain brownie, your mission is going to be to change that recipe and make it work so that it's much healthier for you. Or, you know, whatever that dish might have been, if it was southern fried chicken, you're going to learn to start baking breaded chicken or chicken and, you know, crushed almonds. But the thing is, your meaning for this is going to be the health of your family. You will not have lost her in vain. You will use it as a catalyst to make sure that you improve your health in her honor and as a tribute to her, and that you improve the health of the family. And then the way to stay connected is to take this thing that's provided you comfort and turn it around so that the actions you engage in are healthier as opposed to unhealthy. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And the next thing I want you to do is pick a race, like let's say a 5K.
Okay.
I want you to find a 5K online, and I want you to complete a 5K for her. And another thing, the last thing is, it might not be a bad idea to let yourself see a grief counselor for a couple of sessions to help you through this period.
Well, and I've been thinking of that. Either that or at least, you know, we have a pastor nearby. I've definitely been considering that idea and throwing it around. I guess I've just been trying to exercise every other route beforehand.
No, all of them at the same time.
Okay.
All of them at the same time, sweetie.
And I really appreciate your guys' call. Like I said, I've been piecing together your guys' podcast because, you know, I know that you and Janice have both experienced a similar loss and in your own ways and stuff. And
well, Janice is still a mess, but I am the picture of mental health.
Well,
I was going to say, if you buy that, there's some swampland in Florida. No, but I you're absolutely right. And it's a process. And you've got to allow yourself to move through that process.
Okay. Thank you, you guys.
Listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.